Would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the granddaughter of the late Archbishop, Desmond Tutu, her name is, I'm going to try to say it, but I probably pronounced it wrong, but it's something like Monji Nomani. Well, she's written a great book called Everyday Ubuntu, Living Together the African Way. And in this book that she wrote, she shares stories about a heartbroken family. This couple, you see, who had a little son, brought him to the emergency room one day. And they brought him to the emergency department because the little boy was having problems breathing. His severe asthma had flared up, and he wasn't able to catch his breath. And during the course of his visit there, the nurse who was attending to them was distracted by another emergency, and because of faulty equipment at the hospital, the child didn't get the oxygen and the care that he needed. And tragically, the lack of oxygen resulted in brain damage for this little boy. Now, the parents were obviously devastated and angry, so they sued the hospital because they didn't want other parents to have to suffer and deal with what they went through. But as time went by and the parents won the lawsuit, conversations between them and the hospital continued. It came to light that for the healthcare organization to pay out the sum that they were awarded in the lawsuit, it would actually impede their planned replacement of different outdated equipment on the children's ward. So what were the parents to do? Were they to accept the payment that they rightfully won with the lawsuit? I imagine that anger they felt towards the hospital, the sorrow they held from their child's life being changed forever, the wanting of the hospital to pay, to be punished for what had happened. What were they going to do? Winning the lawsuit, getting the payment from the hospital would negatively impact their main focus and aim of preventing another child from suffering the same fate as their own son. So I imagine that the parents sat with this information. Maybe they even sat in silence. There's an African proverb which says, "Much silence makes powerful noise." Much silence makes a powerful noise. This phrase reminds me of Psalm 46, verse 10, in which it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be. Come. Be present. Be with me, God tells us. How often are we practicing being? How often are we present in this actual moment that is happening right now? How often do we truly be and listen? Our scripture this morning is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching to people, answering the question of how are they to be in this life and to be guided by the Spirit. The first six verses of our scripture delineate interactions among Jesus' followers marked by self-awareness and humility and compassion for correcting someone else rather than condemning them. Now, you've likely heard this passage, the scripture before, "Do not judge so you will not be judged." And there's this eschatological underpinning, the thought that how we behave now will be judged by God some later date. Many think of God as a judge and a jury, that it's at the end time for ourselves. But what if instead we recognize the divinity, the God within ourselves and within others, and see that judgment as happening right here and right now? Richard Rohr, he writes, "The true self is who you are because of divine indwelling. the Holy Spirit within you, Richard Rohr writes, as Paul tells us in Romans. We are all tabernacles of Paul, of God, Paul says. What happened in Christ, the Anointed One, is an announcement of what is happening in of heaven and earth, both at the same time. Much of the work of enlightenment is bringing those two identities together, just as Jesus did. That's from Richard Rohr. So how do we do this? How do we bring these two identities together just like Jesus? How do we follow in Jesus's way? One step is moving away from judgment, away from making assumptions, our third agreement, and moving instead to a place of love and curiosity, which looks like understanding and listening. The Ruizes name this as the fifth agreement: be skeptical, but learn to listen. As I've mentioned to a few people here at church, I feel a better word perhaps would be to be curious, but learn to listen. Be curious. Don't judge. Don't make assumptions. It's so easy to see that speck in someone else's eye. What they're doing wrong, or what we perceive they're doing wrong, what we think are not good, us making judgments of others. It's easier to do that with someone else than to notice it in ourselves. The Ruizes teach us to discern the truth. Now, here's the tricky thing about truth. We all have different truth. It's like a mirror. You look into a mirror, and it seems like it is what it is. But the mirror is a reflection of ourselves. It's actually a copy of what it is, and it's backwards. Your left hand is actually your right hand in the mirror when you look at it that way. It's not the truth. As Ruiz states, the truth is always distorted by the reflection. What each of us perceives as truth is distorted. It's distorted by our own life experiences, by our own situations in the moment, by our own stories. And that's why we should not believe everything we hear. Things that we tell ourselves, even, because most of what we hear just isn't true. It's a reflection or distortion of the truth. This means we have to be curious to find and hear the truth, asking questions, wondering, not judging or making assumptions. And here's the thing about the truth. The truth actually does not need us to believe it. The truth simply is. And it survives whether we believe it or not. As Jesus teaches us, he teaches us to ask, and it will be given to you, to search, and you will find, to knock, and the door will be opened. These three actions involve us doing something, being active participants. They involve listening. Listening allows us to see our own log and not judge the specks in other people's eyes. As the Ruizes say, when you learn to listen, you understand the meaning of the symbols that people are using. Now, the organization, the Samaritans, it's based its life-saving work on the power of listening. The yard signs that we have out here in front of the church and that many of you took home a couple of weeks ago, they're ones to help raise awareness about the new 988 number for suicide prevention, as that lifeline, the telephone number that people can call. The Samaritans started over 60 years ago by an English minister. And today, they use the acronym SHUSH to help their volunteers. And if Faith, you can put that image up for me, that'd be great. We'll see if it works. There it is. Shush. And the Samaritans use this for their volunteers who are answering the phones of the lifeline, and it's to help them remind, for the first S, to show that you care when listening, to have patience for the H, the you is to use open questions. Not yes and no questions, but open-ended, curious questions, wonderings. The S is to say it back. Reiterate what you hear. And H, again, to have courage to help people understand the art of listening. As Desmond Tutu's granddaughter writes, the ability to listen lies in the heart of a Mbutu. It's about giving time and attention to others, allowing them to feel heard and to know that they matter. Listening, though, we must know, is not about getting our way. If you have kids or have been around kids, you know that they think the parents don't listen to them when they don't get what they want, whether it's a cookie or more time out or whatever it might be. You didn't hear me. You're not listening, the kids might say to a mom or dad. No, it's not that. Listening is not about getting your way. What we really mean is you didn't respond the way I wanted you to respond. And then that is making an assumption. We assume that the people we're talking to will agree with the dream we've created. As the Ruizas state, people will come to you and tell you their personal story. They will tell you their point of view, what they believe is true. But you won't judge it if it's truth or not. You don't have any judgment, but respect for the other. Listening is about having respect. Respect for the divine that is in the other person. Listening is knowing that we don't have all the answers. Listening is being open and curious. Now, the family that I mentioned at the beginning, whose son was severely injured at the hospital from his asthma attack, they learned to deeply listen. Even though they were awarded this large sum of money from the lawsuit, they listened to the hospital and decided to not have the hospital pay out the money. They decided that they wanted the hospital to use those funds instead to replace the outdated equipment on that children's hospital wing. The parents discovered that winning the lawsuit would negatively impact their overall aim and goal of making sure this doesn't happen to another family. They listened and heard the hospital concerns. And the hospital, in return, listened to the parents' concerns. The hospital invited the parents to come and see what had been done and what changes were being made. The parents set aside their anguish and fear, the raw emotions that they still felt, and they moved forward in a listening and loving manner. When we're curious, when we ask questions and listen deeply, we discover a connection to God, to the divine that is in each person. Jesus is calling us to be curious, to ask the questions, to wonder, to search out the truth. Not to believe everything that we are told and everything we hear, both in our own minds and from other people. But when we search, the doors will be open. And we will be living the life that Jesus is guiding us to, the one that God is creating for us. Friends, you have the power to create the world you want to live in. You have the power to make your life heaven or hell. You already have everything you need. It's a matter of harnessing your inner God within. Right now is a great time to be alive. God is here working with us, creating a new dream, a dream that is God working within you and through you. So won't you come now? Won't you rise in body and spirit as we sing together how great our God is? Let us rise in body and spirit and join together in singing How Great Thou Art, number 33, verses 1, 2, and 4.